Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Sunday, March the 31st. And I hope that all of you had a very happy Easter Sunday. Now, because of the Easter holiday, some of you will be watching this on the video on Sunday night. And those of you who listen to the podcast will be hearing the audio on Monday. That's just a little thing we had to do because with the holiday, you know, we didn't have time to do all of it. But nevertheless, I hope you had a very good and enjoyable Easter Sunday. The weather around here was great, and I hope it was the same wherever you are. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about a vice president for President Trump, I mean, who he could run with in 2024. I mean, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. I still, you know, he still has probably about 3 months, maybe 2 months, to make that decision. Probably he wants to get it done by the middle of June for a lot of reasons, for campaigning, to put the team together and all of that. So he has a couple of months to think about it. And I've got some names that I want to recommend to him tonight that I hope, I'm sure some of you have also thought of these names. They're not original of mine. But before we do, I just want to comment again. I have a post coming out Monday morning about this outrageous sense of bad timing from the Biden administration naming March 31st or issuing a proclamation on March 31st about Transgender Day. Now, they're telling me from what I'm hearing, some people are saying, well, he had no choice because he was stuck with the date of March 31st. That is the day we celebrate it. First of all, I had never heard of this before, that we celebrate this on March 31st. It's not like Memorial Day or something like that. This is one of those days that has more to do with politics than anything else. So it may be March 31st. Maybe that's the day, but he could have issued the proclamation on Monday, or he could have issued the proclamation later. But to do it on Easter Sunday and to celebrate transgenderism on Easter Sunday, it just makes absolutely no political sense whatsoever. Now, of course, the reason they did it, is because this is going to be a campaign where you got to get your base out to vote. That's what this is about. The only chance that Joe Biden has of winning this election is to get a huge turnout of his base to vote, much like what happened in 2020 when they had a very sizable turnout. At the moment, it doesn't look like they're going to get that, because if you look at some of their groups, whether it's Hispanics or African-Americans, especially African-Americans, are not voting with any enthusiasm. I mean, these primary votes have been absolutely terrible. I mean, here in Texas, for example, we had a primary a few weeks ago, and less than a million Democrats voted in our primary. So that tells you right there, a lot of people were just not excited about voting. Now, some people are going to argue, well, there weren't any big races and people didn't get excited. Okay, I'll buy that. But there was a contest for the U.S. Senate between Congressman Allred and State Senator Gutierrez. That got a lot of publicity. They were running TV ads on that. But that didn't, you know, bring out not even a million people. And then on the other hand, Senator Cruz, without any contest to speak of, he got almost 2 million votes. So that tells you right there, the enthusiasm is simply not on the Democrat side. So part of the reason for focusing on the transgender vote is because they've got to get their base out. They got to get their base out. So I understand politically why they're doing it, but I still question the timing of all of this, doing it on Easter Sunday. It was just absolutely, you know, as they say, bad politics, just absolutely bad politics. Now, it was a rough weekend for the president in another area. They had this big, you know, fundraiser in New York, and they got $25 million, which is a lot of money. But they got $25 million, you know, with President Clinton and President Obama. But the problem is that nobody was talking about it, because this last weekend, of course, was the weekend that of the police officer and the funeral and all of that. And that's what they were talking about. And so, big event that the president, you know, had with President Clinton and President Obama, but they got very little out of it politically. As far as press is concerned, you know, you don't have anything coming out of it, because everybody in New York this weekend was talking about something else. The funeral of this police officer and the amazing speech by his widow, the young woman holding that one-year-old baby. What a tragedy that is. So the Biden administration, they don't seem to have a very good sense of politics. That much I will tell you. They don't seem to have people. He doesn't have people around him who can, you know, look at the political reality of things. And issuing a proclamation for Transgender Day on Easter Sunday is not a very smart idea. Not a very smart idea. Again, I don't care if you're transgender, if you're homosexual, I could care less. I'm not running around judging people. But if you're going to issue a proclamation like that, I think you would have been better off just waiting a day or two and saying, you know, I'll issue it on Monday or Tuesday when you're not doing it on Easter Sunday. So it's just some bad political maneuvering, if you will, by the Biden administration. Now, let's talk a little bit about a vice president for President Trump. As I mentioned, he's going to have to make this decision probably in the next 2 months. I'm sure he's already looking at people. I'm sure he's looking at different candidates. And, you know, they're all very good. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the people that we've heard are not good people. I think the one person I feel pretty strongly that he's not going to take is Nikki Haley. I don't think that's going to fly. I just don't see that flying. There's just some bad blood there, and I just don't see that flying. But, you know, he could surprise us. He could surprise us. I think the one thing about Trump this year is that I think Trump realizes how important it is to win. And I think he's going to be very pragmatic in who he chooses. So I've got a few names for him, Mr. President, if you're watching. I have a few names for President Trump. And these are not in any order of importance. I just wrote them down. Number one, Senator Rubio of Florida. Now, Senator Rubio, everybody immediately thinks, oh, the Hispanic vote. Well, that he won't hurt. I mean, obviously, that's a plus. But I think the reason you select Senator Rubio is because he's a great campaigner. He's hygienic. He is extremely knowledgeable on national security. And there's one area where I think he could be very helpful. And that is, you know, strengthening our ties with Latin America. I think Latin America has been very much overlooked in the last few years. And, you know, when you see what's happening in Argentina going to the right, when you see a lot of left-wing governments in Brazil, in Chile, in Colombia, and in Venezuela, when you see these countries struggling with these left-wing governments, I think there's a chance that what you saw in Argentina could be repeated in some of these other countries. So having a pro-free market, pro-business, pro-American vice president like Marco Rubio, who could go down there and project some of that magic, if you will, in these elections, could be very helpful. But Senator Rubio would be an excellent choice across the board in every way. Then you have Senator Cotton of Arkansas. Now, he doesn't bring you a lot as far as electoral votes, but he's, again, national security, former veteran. I think he served in Iraq. Extremely well-spoken, very popular with the Republican Party. He could travel the country and do quite well as a VP. The next one is Senator J.D. Vance. Now, this is a fellow, I believe he's a war veteran too, but this is a fellow who really can speak. And Trump is going to need somebody who goes out there and makes the case for him. Obviously, he cannot do it all by himself. But normally what you do as the vice president, you send the vice president to areas where obviously the president cannot be. And I think J.D. Vance would be a tremendous advocate for Trump. And he would do great. He's young. He's dynamic. I think he would be a fantastic choice. Governor DeSantis. Look, the other day there was a cartoon over at the Babylon Bee, you know, the hilarious Babylon Bee, saying that something about Governor DeSantis making Republicans angry because he was having so much success in Florida. he is having success in Florida. I mean, he's probably the most successful governor in the United States at the moment, and that is in turning his promises into legislation and so on. I would say that Governor DeSantis and our Governor Abbott here in Texas are probably the two best in the country, consequential governors. And I think DeSantis would bring a lot to the ticket. It would also show that President Trump can bring the party together and, you know, stretch his hand out to somebody who ran against him. So I think DeSantis would be a great choice. Absolutely great choice. Now, some of you or some people are advocating that he should pick a woman. And I can understand that because you're probably going to have Vice President Harris and Robert Kennedy named a woman. So if you're going to go in that route, I think Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa would be an outstanding choice. She's very telegenic. She's very well-spoken. She's extremely knowledgeable. And I think that would be a good choice. Not my first choice, but if you're going to go in the direction of having a woman, that would be, at least in my mind, the number one woman on that list. Senator Scott of South Carolina. Everybody loves Senator Scott, which is the reason that he would be a good partner on the ticket. He really reaches out to people. He's very amiable. He's very popular, obviously, with Republicans. So I think he may be a compromise choice. He may be the one guy that everybody loves, and that could be the best thing going for him. He's also a good, you know, well-spoken guy who he's just very amiable. I mean, everybody loves Senator Scott. Now, one last one I'll throw in here, and that's former Secretary Mike Pompeo. Now, some people might say, well, he make a better Secretary of State, which is true. But I think national security is going to be a big issue in this campaign. And having somebody like Pompeo on the ticket who projects that kind of knowledge of national security, I think would do the ticket a lot of good. So these are my choices. Again, I don't have any inside information. I'm just telling you the people that I would love to see on the ticket. And if I had to pick from one of these, if you say, okay, pick one, I would go with Senator Rubio, again, because of how well-spoken he is. And he's been a successful governor, and he can talk about national security, which I believe, again, is going to be a major topic in this campaign and in a second Trump term. There's a lot of national security issues that are right there that are going to be at the office of the new president coming in. Well, let me leave you today with a little bit of On This Day in History. I want to say happy number 89 to Shirley Jones. Now, if that name doesn't ring a bell, you're probably not the only one. But Shirley Jones was a great movie actress, The Music Man. She also made a movie with Pat Boone one time. But you and I of our generation probably remember Shirley Jones as the mother on that show, The Partridge Family. If you were around in the 1970s and you were watching television in the early 1970s, and you remember this program called The Partridge Family, about a family that sang together. And Shirley Jones was the mom on that show. And I think she also used to play the organ. I'm not sure, but she sang on their songs. I know that on their records. But Shirley Jones, very beautiful lady who was 89 years old today. And when I think of Shirley Jones, I do think of the Partridge Family. That's maybe my bias because I'm of that generation who remembers the Partridge Family. Again, very happy Easter there to everybody who's saluting me. Hello, Super Pilot. Thank you for wishing me a happy birthday. And I mean, happy Easter, not happy birthday, happy Easter. I want to say happy Easter to all of you as well. I hope you had a great one. And we'll be back tomorrow. And now, of course, tomorrow is April 1st. So, man, we begin a new month tomorrow. What an amazing. Of course, if you're hearing this on the podcast, it's actually April 1st. But if you're hearing on the video, it's March 31st. But, you know, just a little technical explanation there. I hope you had a great Easter. And I hope you have a great upcoming week. And thank you so much for your support. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. and have a wonderful day, everybody.